It was in the spring that his fosterers, the O'Hagans, brought Hugh O'Neill to the castle at Dungannon. It was a great progress in the boy Hugh's eyes. 20 or 30 horses jingling with brass trappings, carts bearing gifts for his O'Neill uncles at Dungannon, red cattle lowing in the van, gallows glass and archers and women in bright scarves, O'Hagans and McMahons and their dependents, and he knew that he, but 10 years old, was the centre of that progress, on a dappled pony with a new mantle wrapped around his skinny body and a new ring on his finger. He kept seeming to recognise the environs of the castle and scan the horizon for it, and questioned his cousin Phelim, who had come to fetch him to Dungannon, how far it was every hour, until Phelim grew annoyed and told him to ask next when he saw it. When at last he did see it, a fugitive sun was just then looking out, and sunshine glanced off the wet lime-washed walls of its palisades, and made it seem bright and near and dim and far at once. Heart-catching, for to Hugh the stone tower and its clay and thatch outbuildings were all the castles he had ever heard of in songs. He kicked his pony hard, and though Phelim and the laughing women called to him and reached out to keep him, he raced on, up the long muddy track that rose up to a knoll where now a knot of riders were gathering, their javelins high and slim and black against the sun. His uncles and cousins O'Neill, who, when they saw the pony, called and cheered him on. Through the next weeks, he was made much of, and it excited him. He ran everywhere, an undersized, red-headed imp, his stringy legs pink with cold and his high voice too loud. Everywhere, the big hands of his uncles touched him and petted him, and they laughed at his extravagances and his stories, and when he killed a rabbit, they praised him and held him aloft among them as though it had been 20 stags. At night, he slept among them, rolled in among their great odorous shaggy shapes, where they lay around the open turf fire that burned in the centre of the hall. Sleepless and alert long into the night, he watched the smoke ascend to the opening in the roof, and listened to his uncles and cousins snoring and talking and breaking wind after their ale. That there was a reason, perhaps not a good one, and kept secret from him, why on this visit he should be put first ahead of older cousins, given first choice from the thick stews in which lumps of butter dissolved, and listened to when he spoke, Hugh felt, but could not have said. Now and again he caught one or another of the men regarding him steadily, sadly, as though he were to be pitied. And again a woman would sometimes, in the middle of some brag he was making, fold him in her arms and hug him hard. He was in a story whose plot he didn't know, and it made him the more restless and wild. Once when running into the hall, he caught his uncle, Turlock Lewinich, and a woman of his, having an argument, he shouting at her to leave these matters to men. When she saw Hugh, the woman came to him, pulled his mantle around him, and brushed leaves and burrs from it. "Will they have him dressed up in an English suit then for the rest of his life?" she said over her shoulder to Turlock Lewinich, who was drinking angrily by the fire.
"His grandfather Khan had a suit of English clothes," Turlock said into his cup. "A fine suit of black velvet, I remember, with gold buttons and a black velvet hat. With a white plume in it!" he shouted. And Hugh couldn't tell if he was angry at the woman, or Hugh, or himself.
The woman began crying. She drew her scarf over her face and left the hall. Turlock glanced once at Hugh and spat into the fire. Nights, they sat in the light of the fire and the great reeking candle of reeds and butter, drinking Dungannon beer and Spanish wine and talking. Their talk was one subject only. The O'Neills. Whatever else came up in talk or song related to that long history, whether it was the strangeness, stupidity or guile either could be argued, of the English colonials, or the raids and counter-raids of neighbouring clans, or stories out of the far past. Hugh couldn't always tell, and perhaps his elders weren't always sure, what of the story had happened 1,000 years ago, and what of it was happening now. Heroes rose up and raided, slew their enemies, and carried off their cattle and their women. O'Neills were crowned Ord Ri, High King at Tara.